I will now like to introduce to you our first speaker of the day is Caroline, who will be speaking on the topic of public information for approximately 45 minutes. Caroline, over to you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Caroline, really grateful, recovered addict. I just want to start off by thanking the committee for asking me to speak about public information. And I just want to tell you a little bit about my journey into public information. So when I came to Cocaine Anonymous, I was dying, I was defeated, and I was done in. And I was taken through the work, the 12 steps of Cocaine Anonymous, as laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was taken through that work very quickly, and I had a spiritual awakening as the result of doing that work. And what that spiritual awakening looks like then and now in my life is that I was catapulted into service. I was catapulted into service. So by about six weeks abstinent, I was sponsoring, and I joined every single service committee that was ever invented. HLI, convention committee, I was at district, I was like in my home group. Oh no, well, I had three home groups. So I was doing service, and you know, because this is what my spiritual awakening looks like. From a taker, I become a giver. And I used to go to our district service committee, and there used to be a guy at the back. He's here today, actually. And he used to sit at the back, a bit moody, going, "No one's doing public information. No one's doing any public information." And me being me, excited, newly recovered, catapulted into this fourth dimension of existence, I was like, I'll do it. What is it? Didn't know anything about public information, didn't even know what it was. But you know, I was so excited that this problem had been removed, and I was so like enthused in service. I was like, I'll do it. And he was like, "All right, can you come to Swindon tomorrow or whenever?" And I was like, yeah, I can come. And went over, and it was explained to me that public information, that the purpose of public information is to carry the message to the still suffering addict. Always, that's our primary purpose. Always, that's what we're doing here in service. But with public information, we do this by making contact, making friends with interested parties, so the public at large, professional communities, other organisations who have the same interest as us, other people who are affected by people's drinking and drugging. So I was like, okay. So we started just in our district doing some stuff, just really simple stuff like putting posters up and, you know, going in pubs, going around pubs, like doing a pub crawl, but a Cocaine Anonymous version of a pub crawl where we've got posters and we're saying, can we put some posters up in your toilet? And we started off doing that, and then we started contacting some kind of like drug and alcohol services, asking them if we could come and talk to them, come and do a presentation, contacting organisations like the police and different health organisations. And as time went on, we built up this kind of like network, this network of friends outside of fellowship, until we were in a position where we could put on these professional days, these professional information days. So instead of us kind of like going round to individual organisations, we would like book a hall and have a day when professionals could come to us. And we would put on some speakers for them, speaking on things like unity, service and recovery, those three sides of the triangle, and then hold an open meeting so the professionals could actually attend a meeting. And we had some great success with these. We made some great friends, and we saw that by doing these kind of events, we could carry the message to an awful lot of people in one time. And we saw things happening, like organisations that didn't have any HLI communication started getting HLI meetings set up through the information that we'd given them. So this just kind of like grew and grew. And then at the area level, there was a PI chair who said, "Oh, why don't you be the vice chair?" So I was like, yeah, because I'm still excited, man. I'm still excited by service at this point. I was like, yeah, I'll be the vice chair. So I took on the vice chair at area level, and then the chair handed his post in. And I was like, oh. And again, I didn't really know what I was doing. I really didn't understand what I was exactly meant to be doing. But there were some guidelines written that helped me kind of find my way. And I learned as I went along. I'm just kind of telling you this so that if you're thinking, oh, well, I don't really know what to do. I don't know anything about it. I don't really know what it is. That's okay. We can make a start. That's a good starting point, you know, because what recovery, all of my recovery, not just my service, but all of my recovery, the best place for me to come from is a place of unknowing, a place of always being ready to learn. I've got this presentation. It's called PI Rocks, and I'd like to try and share it with you today. Now, it is going to involve a little bit of participation. Now, let me just see. There are 97 people on this call, right? So if everybody unmutes the mic and talks at the same time, it's going to be chaos. We want to avoid that. But if you are in a position where you're somewhere quiet and you've got something to say, maybe we could just try unmuting your mic and speaking one at a time. I don't know if it's going to work. The last time we did this, it worked quite well. But we have to be just kind of a bit sensible about who's contributing and not all talking at the same time. I think it'll work. If it doesn't work, we'll have to think of a plan B. But listen, this presentation has been developed by your PI committee, your World Service PI committee. It's been approved at conference. So the idea of this, that I'm going to show you, it's for you to use. It's for you to take back to your home group or your district or your area or your convention or wherever you want to take it and present it to your fellows. So this is not like my presentation. This is your presentation. It belongs to you. It's been approved. You can use it. I can send anybody a copy who wants it. Now, it is going to involve me sharing my screen. And I'm not the best with technology, but I'm just going to give it a go. Okay, let me try this. Microphone on. You should still be able to hear me. Okay. So can you see this? You can see this.
Yes.
Okay. So here's our statement of purpose. So like I explained, this is a fellow to fellowship presentation. This presentation is to be delivered by PI servants to the wider fellowship events, Unity Days, conventions, wherever you want, really. Its aim is to explain why PI is our primary purpose, to garner interest and foster... Sorry?
We can't see anything on the screen. I don't know if you're a co-host yet.
Oh. It's not there.
Yes, he's co-host. Try it again, Pink.
Okay, I need to just go back. Okay.
There you go. It's up.
It's there.
Well, no.
Okay.
Movies.
No? Yeah?
Yeah.
You can see this?
Yes, it's there.
Yeah, we can see it now.
Okay, so listen. Yeah, so the purpose of this is just to garner interest and foster enthusiasm in and for public information. We want to enable districts or areas to start their own local PI committees. We also want to encourage every single Cocaine Anonymous meeting to have, as a service position, a PI group liaison. So somebody in your group who takes responsibility for your own group's public information. I just want to show you a quick video to explain to you a little bit about what public information is. I hope you can see this.
Out.
Okay. So that gives you a little bit of an insight into what public information can look like, what public information might look like. Now, the first question that we're going to ask ourselves is why? Why public information? Why should we do public information? In my heart, I believe that it's our primary purpose to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Now, listen, I've got a home group, and I sit in my home group every week and I sponsor people. But the thing is, these people who are in my home group, they already know about Cocaine Anonymous, obviously, because they found their way to the meeting. The people who I sponsor, they already know about Cocaine Anonymous. So what public information is about really is about going and finding the people who don't know about Cocaine Anonymous, people who've never heard of Cocaine Anonymous, people who don't even know that we're here and we're free. You know, going back to the big book, so this is my PI big book. So obviously I worked the steps through the big book. And when I started doing public information, on rereading the big book, I noticed there were so many references to public information all the way through the big book. It's full of them, especially in the chat, in the forewords, where it's talking about how the fellowship started and how the fellowship grew. And, you know, the exponential growth was down to public information. It was down to making friends with people in media organisations, it was down to having articles published, it was down to making friends with people in hospitals, psychiatry, the men of religion, all the way through the book. If anybody would like a list of these references, I've got them, and you could get yourself your very own PI big book with all of the references highlighted. If anybody wants this, just put your contact details in the box. I'm just going to go back to the presentation, and hopefully we'll be able to do a little bit of participation. I don't know how it's going to go. I'm just trusting that it's going to be all right. Let me have a look. Let's have a look. This one. Okay. So if we were thinking about starting public information, one of the first questions we can ask ourselves, and I'm going to make some notes with what you give me, and then I'll type them up at the end and make them available. So if we're starting off on our public information journey, you might be thinking, well, what do we do? Where do we go? So a good question to ask yourself is, where's the drugs at? Where did you spend time when you were using? Where do you see people using? So if anybody wants to give me any ideas now, just unmute your mic and tell me, where did you go when you were using? I spent a lot of time in toilets. Anybody else got any ideas?
Hotels.
Anybody else?
My own home.
At home, yeah.
Parks.
Clubs.
Nightclubs, yeah. Clubs and pubs, definitely.
Subways.
Stairwells.
Subways. Back alleys. Back alleys, yeah.
Stations.
At work.
Dentists, sorry.
Stations,
yeah.
Cars.
Side of the road, yeah.
Back of a taxi.
Taxis, that's a good one.
Phone boxes.
Yeah.
Airplanes.
In my car.
In cars, yeah, aeroplanes, brilliant.
Car parks.
Prison.
Brilliant. Prisons, car parks, yeah. You see, so just by asking ourselves this really simple question, we start to get a list of places that we could start putting some of our information. And when I'm talking about the information that we might be able to get out there, we've got a really wide range of information that we can get out there. I'm going to show you a bit of that later. So we've got a starting point here. Look, so we could go to toilets, we could go to hotels, we could try and get into people's homes, could have some stuff in parks, pubs and clubs, subways, back alleys, workplaces, dentist surgeries, stations or public transport, the side of the road, in taxis, phone boxes, aeroplanes, car parks and prisons. That's a fantastic, that is a fantastic start of a list that you could literally work through and go, right, we need to get some posters here, we need to contact these people, we can get some flyers in here. Okay, let's have a look at the next one. So let's think about the professional communities that we could make friends with. Where did you go when you needed help? Where were you when you reached crisis point?
Doctor surgeries.
Doctors, yeah.
Social workers.
Social workers, because, yeah.
Treatment centres.
Yeah.
Samaritans.
Samaritans, yeah.
Psychiatrists.
Therapists.
Yeah, psychologists.
Yeah.
Churches,
yeah.
Work,
yeah.
Internet.
Looking on the internet.
Yeah.
Especially now, currently.
Yeah, yeah, drug and alcohol agencies.
Okay. And where were you when you reached crisis point? I was at home. And you see, this is an interesting idea. So the question that we would ask ourselves here in terms of public information is how do we get into people's homes? How do we get our information into people's homes? And this leads us to start thinking about things like television, radio, newspapers. And I think it was Elvira who talked about the internet.
Yes, it does, me.
Yeah, so we need to start asking ourselves, we must start asking ourselves, okay, so how can we, as a public information committee, how can we embrace the power of social media within the safety and guidelines of our traditions? You know, it's starting to be done, it's starting to be addressed. This is one of the kind of blessings of this current situation that we're in. It's kind of acted as a catalyst, I think, for people starting to venture into using social media safely as a way of carrying our message to the public at large. Because I used to spend a lot of time on the internet looking. Well, checking to see if I was a drug addict, really. I used to just ask it questions like, how much of this can you take before you die? And what are the symptoms of a heart attack and things like that? So the internet can be a really useful tool. Obviously, we need to keep within our guiding principles of the traditions. Now, let's think of something else, because so this kind of like deals with our professional communities. We cooperate with professional communities. Let's think of another question to add to this list of what we could do when we're starting out with public information. So who loves your baby? So who was affected or concerned by your using? Where did your loved ones go to look for help? And who did they talk to about their problems? So I know, you know, thinking about myself, my husband was probably the most affected or concerned by my using. Does anybody else have any ideas about who was affected and concerned by the user?
Parents,
yeah.
Children,
yeah.
Just backtracking, when you were trying to get the message to the home, I thought maybe leaflet drops. Household, yeah. Leaflet dropping.
Good idea, fantastic.
Yeah. Work colleagues?
Colleagues, yeah.
Sometimes neighbours.
Yeah, definitely neighbours. Definitely neighbours, okay.
Yeah, okay. School welfare officer noticed a problem with me, so it was raised school, there.
School welfare office, yeah. So when these people became concerned about your drinking or your using, where did they go to look for help? What do you think they did? Who did they talk to about the problems?
My mum tried to get some help on the internet.
Internet again, yeah.
Contacted Frank.
Frank, so other agencies, yeah.
Talk with the medicals, doctors and psychologists.
Yeah.
Hospitals.
Hospitals.
Yeah.
Rehabs.
Okay.
Social workers. priests and vicars, people of faith.
Nice.
Yeah. And I know that my husband spoke to his friends a lot. He just spoke to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, the point of this question is, how do we reach the public at large? Because we want to make our information available, not just to drug addicts. We want to make our information, our contact details, our meeting lists, our telephone number, our website address. We want to make it available to our partners, our parents, our work colleagues, our neighbours. We want them to be able to see that there is a solution, pick it up and bring it back to us, bring it back to the still suffering addicts. We want our partner's friends to go, oh, well, I saw a poster about this. I saw a poster about this in the cafe, or I picked up this card. Look, I saw this card while I was in the supermarket. I thought it might be useful. So you see, the public at large is a really important part of what public information does. We just want to get our message out there to the public at large that we're here and we're free. And this is one of the beauties, really, of public information service. You know, if you think about Tradition 12 and the spiritual principle of anonymity. When we do public information service, it is truly, truly anonymous service, because say if I go and leave a pile of cards in a supermarket, you know, on one of the boards where you can leave cards, I'll never know who picks up one of those cards to maybe give to somebody else, and then that person might eventually make it into a meeting, become sold on our ideas, get a sponsor, work the steps and recover. And I'll never know about that, but I'm doing service to serve God. I'm doing service for service's sake. I'm doing service. So it truly is, you know, the spiritual principle of anonymity is all about doing service for no recognition or reward. So public information definitely falls really neatly into that category. Let's just think about this next slide. So listen, this is what the big book says on page 19. It says, those of us who live in large cities are overcome by the reflection that close by, hundreds are dropping into oblivion every day. Many could recover if they had the opportunity that we've enjoyed. How then shall we present that which has been so freely given us? So just think about a 2-mile radius of your home group. Where can you reach those who are dropping into oblivion? How can you reach those who are dropping into oblivion? And this particularly ties into this idea that was approved at conference last year, that every group could have a PI group liaison. Every group could have one person in the group who takes responsibility, even just for putting a poster up in the venue to say, there's a meeting here on such and such a night, at such and such a time. Because you see, when I was in active addiction, I used to go to play groups with my babies in the same venue where I now know that there's a Cocaine Anonymous meeting, but there wasn't anything in that venue to tell me that there was a Cocaine Anonymous meeting there on another day. So this is just a question to get us thinking about, okay, so just in our very, very local area, where could we go to reach the people who are dropping into oblivion? So venue, our meeting venue, is the very, very first and foremost place where we could think about. I mean, I know we haven't got like physical meeting venues now, but we will have again. I know that we will have again. So that's the very first and foremost place that we can actually ask them if we can put a poster up. Anywhere else that you can think of? Think about where your meeting usually is. Where could you go within a 2-mile radius?
Children's centres.
Where's that? Children's centres?
Yeah. Council.
Local council, yeah.
Caroline, local. If you're in Portugal, we are doing some interesting job. Some people have weekend houses or holiday houses. And they make campaign flyers on that local.
Okay.
Colleges and universities.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Village halls.
Village halls. Yeah.
Churches.
What was that?
Church.
Church. Yeah.
Pubs.
Chemists.
Chemist.
Yeah.
local banks. We've just made contact with the Lloyds Bank. They actually have a public information board, and Birmingham have just managed to get a poster in one of their branches, and we are looking to get them in more branches throughout Birmingham, so banks as well.
See, that's an amazing idea. And another thing that I've seen done is I've seen people asking for permission to put our flyers or posters up on cash points. Because if you're anything like me, I would be at the cash point at kind of like one minute past midnight on a certain day. So cash points are somewhere where we kind of like hang around, don't we? We hang around there. We definitely go to a cash point every week. So yeah, banks and cash points is a brilliant idea. Fantastic. Okay.
Bus stations,
yeah.
Shopping centre.
And gasoline stations.
Yeah, petrol stations, yeah.
Roadside hoarding.
Yes, billboards.
Chemists,
yeah. Okay, so this is amazing. This is just amazing what we're seeing here. So listen, the Public Information Service Committee in Kirkcaldy Anonymous, literally we've got friends all over the world, and we've got these like messaging groups in North America, for Europe, we've got a World Service Public Information messaging group. We do our monthly committee calls via Skype. You could even start your own if you haven't got a public information committee in your district or in your area. You can start your own. There are guidelines available. You could start your own. If anybody wants to join any of these messaging groups, just let me know and I can add you to them. It's just, you know, what public information is about making friends. That's what we do in public information. We make friends with people. We make friends with professional communities. We make friends with members of the public. We you know, we go to like these like health fairs and make friends with members of the public. And we make friends with each other, like all over the world. There's this little like army of PI servants. And it's just the most miraculous and lovely connection. There's just one more video to show you, which is a video PSA. I think it'll work. Will this work? Oh, let me see. Is this working? I don't know. Let's have a look.
Breakfast?
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah. Lunch?
Dinner? Dessert? Breakfast? Lunch? Dinner? Dessert? Breakfast? Lunch? Dinner? Dessert? Breakfast? Lunch? Dinner? Breakfast? Dinner? Breakfast? Time to change your diet? There is a solution. Contact Cocaine Anonymous. Breakfast.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to stop sharing my screen and come back to you, I hope. Yes, I'm back. Okay, this is fantastic. Look at the ideas that you've come up with, like a whole list. So if you were looking in your district or your area to start your own public information campaign or committee, this is already a list of fantastic ideas that you've come up with. Now, we've got to talk about resources because this is amazing. We've got this public information members area, and you can all access it. You can all find it at pi.ca.org. Now, listen, everything that is conference approved is freely available to you. So we've got the flyers, the posters, all the different, every single thing that's ever been conference approved is available to you there. Now, some things have already been customised with local website details, local helpline details. But if yours isn't already there, you can contact PI. There's a little button that says contact PI, and you just create an account and you send a little message saying, please, can I have this poster? And we want this website address, and we want this telephone number, or we want these meeting details in that box. You can ask them to customise this exactly how you want it, and then they'll email you a PDF back, ready for printing. The same can be done with our chip cards, so you can have your own area details put on them, your own district details, district telephone numbers, and again they'll email them back to you. Now, we talked about some ideas then. We've just talked about some ideas. So one of the ideas that you've just come up with is pubs and clubs. Now, undoubtedly, a lot of addicts spend time in pubs and clubs. Now, some of them, the thing about public information, really, right, you can do whatever you want. As long as it's legal, as long as you get permission, you don't just go fly posting and bring in fear into disrepute, you can do whatever you want. And some districts and areas have come up with some fantastic, ingenious ideas. You know, you saw on that video right at the beginning, the, for example, the taxi wrap. Somebody said, like, we used in taxis. You saw the taxi wrap. I know that some districts have got some business cards put into taxis. There's also been these, look. Can you see these?
Yeah.
Beer mats. So beer mats, and they've got here, they've got the Kirkin Anonymous telephone number and website. Mm. What a fantastic idea of a way, you know, because every pub in the whole world has beer mats. And then there was another district came up with these ideas. These are actually, I don't know if you can really see, but these are actually like plastic credit cards. And the district who got these made went and left them. They built up a relationship with one of the huge, huge nightclubs up in the Northwest District. And they got permission, always, always get permission, got permission to leave a load of these in the toilets. Because obviously this, I mean, it is drug using paraphernalia, you know, we use these, we know what we use these for. So people can pick them up in the toilets, they can use them for whatever they want to use them for, and then hopefully put them in their pocket. And then another day, they might just find that they've got the number that they need when they reach that jumping off place, when they reach the darkest point in their life, they've got our number there. So when we're talking about getting into people's homes, this is an idea, this is a way that we can do it. Now, the posters that are available, I mean, there's loads of posters that have been already approved, and they're all on the PI members area for you. There's lots of different resources there. And the video PSA that I just showed you, that breakfast, lunch and dinner, that's not the only one. There's a few others. Now, if you want any of these, if you want any of them, like I said, they're freely available to anybody. You just contact PI at pi.ca.org. Put in your details, right, tell them exactly what you want on the poster, and they'll send you it back. So we've worked really hard as your World Service Public Information Committee to try and get all of these resources in one place freely available. I just wonder if anybody here would like to do a little testimony. Usually I would ask like a local person to do a testimony. So I know that John is here, David C is here. I wonder if somebody from Devon and Cornwall would like to just tell me about your recent successes, because I know that you've had some. Why don't you share them with the group? Sorry, I've just put it right on you, haven't I? Go on.
Tony, do you want to?
Yeah, no, go on, David. Because you're the media chair, and you put the newspaper articles together, so I'll hand it over to you.
Can I talk a little bit about the Portugal experience?
Let's just hang on, Elvira. Let's just let David. I think David, are you going to tell us about your media experience?
Yeah. So I mean, basically, we've just built some relationships with the local. There's a group of papers around Devon and Cornwall. Devon Live, Plymouth Live, Cornwall Live. They've got, you know, they're the primary publications, plus they've got websites. So we've just started building relationships with them. So we've got one guy in Cornwall, one guy in Plymouth. As a result of the Plymouth one, we've been introduced to Devon. And it's really just, like you were saying, Caroline, you know, just about building that relationship. We got in contact with them first. We started educating them about our traditions and about how we work, rather than just sort of bulldozing our way in there. And once we were kind of confident that they understood what we were about, we set up a mock meeting for them to come and visit the meeting. And as a result of that, they wrote quite a compelling piece. And then this year, we went back in touch with them and said, look, all our meetings have moved to online now. And they were really keen to support us. And, you know, they came up with some ideas. So one of them came up with an idea that we'd have an existing member who's been here a long time about the switch to online. Then Plymouth Live had an idea of getting like a couple of people that were quite early on in recovery and speaking to them. So we had a girl that was she was literally like a matter of weeks in the fellowship, and she was able to explain how she found us. Like her first ever experience with CA was an online, you know, one of the Zoom meetings. So we, yeah, I mean, and we've just found that they've been really, really supportive. And I think that's what's been, you know, really good and compelling. And we've been able to use that article and send it to other people. So that's kind of attracted them into use to us, you know, and it's a, things don't happen always happen immediately, do they? You know, it's that sort of relationship building. And I think that's what we've been able to do. And that, you know, I think we've got some really great advocates that work on our behalf. I think that's probably enough for me.
Thank you so much, David. You see, so here is a perfect example of how a district has made some cooperative relationships with professional communities. They've made friends with the media. And do you know what? That's exactly out of the big book. That's exactly the same as the forward to the first edition, the Jack Alexander article, which was the catalyst for the mushrooming of AA. That's what we're doing here. That's what public information is. So thank you for sharing that story, David. And I hope it just inspires anybody who is from a district where there isn't a public information committee, or maybe where there's just a fledgling committee. This can be done. Baby steps, humility and grace. Anything is possible with public information. This is how our fellowship grows. I've just got a little message that says it's more or less time to finish. So I really hope I've kind of like infused people, inspired people. If anybody's got any questions, probably the easiest way to find me might be on Facebook, where I'm Pink Caroline Hogan. You'll find me. You can message me on there. Yeah, I hope I've helped. I hope I've inspired people. If anybody needs anything, you can probably find it on pi.ca.org. If you can't find it there, I'll send you it. I love you all so much. Thank you for having me.